It's Light the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports with Hall of Fame broadcaster and voice of the Texas Longhorns, Craig Way.
Say goodnight to this one!
And Horns 24/7 insider, Jeff Howe. On your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Second hour of Light the Tower here on The Horn. Craig and Jeff with you up till noon. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll visit with Kendall Rogers, D1Baseball.com. Cleanup of the first hour of the program. Some folks had texted in. Vivo Lance Jason said, because football season's coming to end, has the tears going down there. Sean wants to thank you for a great job of explaining the Washington scheme and details there for Kwiatkowski. You know,
that's what I'm here for.
Hey, the last time I heard of a two down lineman thing, I was getting ready to call a six man game. So it's interesting to hear that, the 2-4-5. But we'll have more on that as we go forward. Okay, but now before we we'll hook up with Kendall, let me get you to, you know, pay off the tees from the front side,
yeah,
of the top of the hour break about we're talking about the Blue Monday and the depressing days of the year and the most optimistic days of the year. And you said there's a unique perspective from my good friend Craig Miller, I used to work with in Dallas, Jr., as so many know him there, working at the Ticket with George Dunham there, with Dunham and Miller in the morning, the Musers, there on the Ticket in Dallas. You said that Craig has his own unique take on this.
Yeah, you know, Craig, somebody needs to write a book on, interview you, the Musers, Mike Reiner. There needs to be a book written on tales from the old Arlington Stadium auxiliary press box.
The back of the bus.
Yeah. Craig Miller's take, Craig, is essentially that the second Tuesday in August, specifically at 2 o'clock, is the worst moment of the year, and that the second Tuesday in August is the worst day of the year. And somebody actually wrote this in article form, and here are his reasonings. August sucks, and it's the worst month of the year. It's always stupid hot outside. There are no holidays of note around this date. Apologies to baseball, but there are very few decent sports options on TV. That wasn't the case this past August, but such is life in the middle of a pandemic. Kids are about to go back to school. Summer's ending. Tuesdays, as we all know, are the worst day of the week since you're no longer refreshed from the previous weekend, and the next one is still a few days off. Even more specific, the second Tuesday of the month is worse because during the first, you're still refreshed from the previous month, and during the third and fourth, you can see the finish line. If you want to get more specific, Miller says the worst moment of the year also falls today, right when the clock strikes 2 p.m., given that's the night's entertainment options have yet to arrive and that everyone's in a post-lunch lull. So there you have it.
Okay.
The worst day of the year is the second Tuesday in August, and the worst moment of the year is 2 p.m., the second Tuesday in August.
Okay, so it's not the third Monday in January, according to social media and those who would have you believe that that is indeed Blue Monday.
Correct.
Okay, well, you know what? I'm inclined to agree probably with Junior. I'm probably inclined to agree, at least in terms of it not being the third Monday. And the reason why is because we got some great information yesterday from Kendall Rogers and D1Baseball.com. They have the preseason poll out. Texas number 9 in that poll, but there's a lot to discuss with that and college baseball. So he joins us on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline right now. Kendall, I appreciate the time. Happy New Year to you. How are you?
Man, I'm doing good. It's great to hear your voice. Tell you what, I was driving a couple weeks ago, and you were doing a playoff game, and it was just great to hear you calling football. I'm looking forward to hearing you call some baseball soon, my man.
Hey, we're all looking forward to that. I wanted to get you on the program, and of course, you and Jeff have known each other a long time as well. We'll get to some of the other issues and things that you've written there at D1Baseball.com in a moment. But first, let's start with a poll. I'm curious to get your thoughts on how unique and or challenging was it to put this poll together, preseason poll, as opposed to past ones, given that there was, you know, all the teams played no more than 15, 16, 17 games last year before everything got shut down?
No, you're right. I mean, I think when you look at all these teams right now, you could probably go 30, 35 teams deep in our potential rankings and look at teams that go, hey, you know what? Like, you could argue that these guys should be, you know, number 20, or you could argue these guys should be number 25, and yet they're unranked because there's just so many good teams. So, you know, I'd use TCU as kind of a perfect example of kind of college baseball situation in 2021. You look at TCU, this is a club that's going to have six returning fifth-year seniors. I mean, it's unheard of in college sports, much less college baseball. So that's just one example, but you're also seeing this type of situation permeate to some other programs. So on one hand, if you're a coach for David Pierce or Jim Schlossnagel, it's going to be one of the most challenging years ever for many reasons, but obviously from a competition standpoint. But it also, when you look at it from a college baseball perspective, you could be looking at the most interesting year ever in terms of just having so many, you know, Omaha caliber clubs. I really do feel like there are probably 15 to 20 Omaha caliber clubs right now. And I think there are years you could argue that that list isn't anywhere near that long.
Wow. What was the common thread that you noticed? I mean, like you said, that's an anomaly to have six fifth-year seniors there for Jim Schlossnagel's team. But was there a common thread that you noticed as you and the staff were putting together these preseason rankings about usually with preseason polls, a lot of it's based on pitching, but I know there's a lot of things that went into it because this was, as we mentioned, so unusual coming off the uncompleted season of a year ago.
No, you're right. I think one of the big things is that obviously there are a lot of teams with strong, weak in rotations, but I think I look at clubs that have a lot of at-bats and a lot of innings. And what I mean by that, if you look back at Coastal Carolina a few years ago when they won the national championship, they might not have been the most talented team in the postseason, but what do they have? They had like seven seniors in their starting lineup. So, you know, that's why you see a team like TCU, you know, ranked pretty high despite having a couple of question marks. And so I think when you look at all these teams, I think you're going to – I think that this is ripe for a situation to where there will be a team. I'll throw a Texas State out there. It's a team that may not be top 25 right now but has a lot of veterans. And, you know, you could see them make a run to the postseason and maybe surprise some people and get to Omaha. I know people, like, sit back and go, okay, that's crazy. Like, Texas State's not getting to Omaha. But this is one of those years that someone is going to surprise us, and it's because of those seniors in your everyday lineup.
Talking with Kendall Rogers, D1Baseball.com here, is preseason top 25 rankings. We mentioned the Longhorns are number 9. Florida is number 1. Texas Tech, the highest ranked Big 12 school, at number 3. TCU is 10th after Texas. West Virginia at 14. Oklahoma State at 20, as we discuss this here on Light the Tower. Craig Way and Jeff Howe.
Yeah, Kendall, that's right where I wanted to go, is get your 30,000-foot view on the Big 12, because Craig just ran down the teams in the poll and kind of piggybacking on what you said a minute ago. I mean, you can make a strong argument for Oklahoma to be a top 20, top 25 type team. I mean, is this top to bottom, is this as good as you've seen the league in a while?
No, it really is. I mean, honestly, this might be the deepest I've seen this league since it was in its original format back in the late 90s, early 2000s. I love the Big 12 on paper this year. I think when you look at the top of the league, you have Texas Tech. You know, Craig's like me, follow the Red Raiders for Mississippi State, and Larry Hayes was there. To see Texas Tech become a program that is year in and year out in the top five discussion is honestly just kind of astonishing. But they've got a terrific club coming back. I think when you look at their lineup, they're balanced. Dylan Noisy kind of leading the way. Then I think after that, I think Texas and TCU are, to me, the clear-cut two or three teams. You could put those two teams in any order. TC, I mentioned just the veteran leadership there. But I think when you look at Texas, you know, Texas will have a lot of momentum coming off of last year. I thought they were playing really well in the last year. You know, Pete Hansen, you know, people kind of forget that Pete Hansen had an unblemished ERA in the last year. I think he's going to have a terrific year and put him himself in a situation to where he's going to have to make a tough decision next summer. I think he could be a top first-round pick. I think he could be an early second-round pick. We'll see. But you combine him with Ty Madden, you add some of these young players in there, and then you look at the offense. I think Trey Faltini is going to take another step forward. And getting, you know, we mentioned those seniors, guys, getting the Zach Zubias and Austin Todd back for another year, that's huge. And don't forget about my man Mike Antico, brings a little bit of that Queen swagger with him from St. John's. I think he was a terrific pickup for David Pierce and company. So, you know, you look at those two teams, and then there's some others. I think for me, I think West Virginia, Oklahoma State, and Oklahoma are all kind of in that same group. I think Oklahoma is one of those teams I want to like hate that we didn't rank them later in the year. So I think Skip Johnson is going to have a really solid club. Again, they've got everybody back offensively. When you look at them pitching wise, you know, Dawson Fowler is a name to keep an eye on. And they added Luke Taggart from Incarnate Word, who's a really talented Friday starter. He's now OU Sunday starter. So, yeah, the Sooners lost all three weekend starters. But I think Oklahoma is going to be a really solid club. And then, of course, you know, Oklahoma State, you know, in West Virginia, kind of the headliners for the Mountaineers. Those top two starters on the front end of that rotation with Jackson Wolf and Ryan Berger, both those guys were off to a nice start before the season ended. And then when you look at Oklahoma State, you know, once again, like I said about all these teams, they got everybody back offensively, and I feel like you know, I feel like Josh has a really solid pitching staff as well. But keep an eye on Baylor and Kansas State as well. You know, I didn't even talk about those guys in the top 25 discussion. You know, but Steve Rodriguez has a lot of guys back. Jared McKenzie, that fab freshman, he's back again this year. And then Kansas State, Jordan Wicks, their ace pitcher, he'll likely be a first-round pick next summer. And then they also have Carson Seymour on Saturdays, who's up to 98. If he can command that fastball, fellas, Kansas State could really surprise some people. They could have one of the top 5 or 6 1-2 punches in college baseball if those two guys gel and everything kind of comes together for them. So, in essence, I'm really excited about the Big 12, as you can tell.
And Kendall, to piggyback on K-State, brand new facility, basically. They've completely redone their ballpark. I've seen it twice now, both for football and going up for women's basketball a few weeks ago. It looks incredible. And they were debuting it last year, kind of rolling it out at the start, and then they didn't even really get a chance to enjoy it, just like with Oklahoma State.
No, you're right. I mean, I think when you look across the Big 12, and frankly, you look across college baseball, specifically the Big 12, you look at, you know, the upgrades that Texas has done over the years, Texas Tech, you know, Oklahoma State's ballpark, O'Brate, looks amazing. And so, you know, if you're the Oklahomas and the Kansas States and schools like that, you've got to be able to make some adjustments from a facility standpoint. I know Kansas State's, you know, renovations look great, and I know Oklahoma – it seems like some big renovations are coming down the pike there as well.
All right. Now, let me ask you one thing. For Longhorn fans and for Big 12 fans, you know, took a little heart there and say, hey, there's 5 on the top 20. That's really good. Now, here's where they will insert their eye roll. Well, when I point out that there's 5 Big 12 teams in the top 20 in the poll. There's 5 SEC teams in the top 8. 5 in the top 8. Florida's number 1. Vanderbilt's number 4. Ole Miss is 6. Mississippi State is 7. And Arkansas is number 8. More's the point. You got LSU at 12. South Carolina at 18. And Tennessee at 19. And Auburn at 23. Folks, that equates to 9 SEC teams in the top 23. So I guess the message there is there's still a conference to beat.
Yeah, I mean, I think we look at the SEC. I mean, the Big 12, when you just look pound for pound, the Big 12 is incredible. But it's the SEC. I mean, you talk about leagues that benefited from having everyone back for another year. There's no league that benefited more than the Southeastern Conference. And I think when you look at this, you know, league overall, I mean, I'm just excited to see opening week. And you think about that Globe Life tournament that they'll announce later this week with, you know, Texas, you know, Texas Tech, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Arkansas. You know, that is a tournament that's going to have, you know, I think it's 6 of our top 12 teams are going to be in that tournament alone. So, I mean, that's going to be incredible. But this league, you know, top to bottom is going to be great this year. I mean, some teams that we didn't even have ranked, a team like A&M, you know, they're top 25 team typically every year. They've got some question marks on the mound. They're moving Bryce Miller from the closer role to the Friday role. If he can make that smooth transition, you know, we're talking about the Aggies being in the top 25 discussion as well. So, I think this league is probably 10 or 11 deep for me. I think Missouri, you can make an argument, could be top 25 caliber. So it's going to be a fascinating year. And, you know, I know SEC coaches are ecstatic that the league did not go to having 4-game series because they're going to have a tough time getting more than about 5 or 6 teams in the postseason had they played 4 games every single weekend.
Talking college baseball with Kendall Rogers, D1 Baseball, here on Light the Tower, Craig Way and Jeff Howe.
Kendall, I want to go back to Texas real quick and get your opinion on kind of the two up for grabs positions of those starting fielders. You know, the outfield looks pretty set with the addition of Mike Ancico, like you said. You know, getting Zubia back, the catching situation is much better than it was a few years ago. But how things shake out at second base and third base, other than the fact that we know Dre Duplantier is not going to play this year after the surgery, there's a lot of names and a lot of things for David Pierce and that staff to look at before they figure out who's going to start at both those spots.
Yeah, I mean, looking back at the fall, and clearly you and me and no one else other than the team got to see the team in the fall. But I'll say this, just kind of reading the tea leaves from David Pierce back in the fall, it seemed like he really liked the talented freshman Dylan Campbell at second base. Mm-hmm. It just kind of the way he talked about him versus some other guys maybe believe that maybe he's kind of the guy to pencil in at second base. That's who we're going to have penciled in at second base in our breakdown on Texas later today on the site. So that's what I would keep an eye on. Second, third base is really intriguing for me. You know, obviously Cam Williams, as he works back from injury, will have a great shot to have that starting job. But I also know that David Pierce really likes the Ivan Melendez kid. Obviously needs to get a little bit more refined defensively, but his plate presence, his power at the plate is pretty undeniable. So I think if he can go out there and he can show that he can be a consistent fielder at the hot corner, you could see him get that starting job and maybe, you know, move someone else into that DH role. So those are the two positions for me that are pretty wide open right now. But otherwise, you know, Silas, behind the plate is a kid they like a lot. And we talked earlier about positions within teams and experience and things like that. You know, how about the fact that Texas, has Ardoin and they have DJ Petritsky behind the plate? You know, having that experience, especially DJ, who's seen innings at Omaha, he's seen innings in Super Regionals, that is massive for Texas as you go into the 2021 season, especially in a year where contract Tracy may knock out a catcher. So I'm pretty excited about this club, guys. I just think when you look at it top to bottom, I don't really see a big hole. I mean, you can look at the bullpen and say, hey, there's some roles to kind of move around, especially when you throw in some freshmen like Tanner Witt, Aaron Nixon, and whatnot. But again, these are supremely talented guys who I think will figure out the ropes sooner rather than later.
Yeah, you know, we're saying around here, Kendall, that DJ is about to start his 11th season in collegiate baseball this year.
it really has seemed like he's been there forever.
Yeah, well, and when one considers you go all the way back to when he was starting his career at Hill College, that's something else to consider there. The one other thing I wanted to have you address. And because it's becoming more and more of a topic, and I would submit to you that folks are getting a little bit antsy waiting to see a Big 12 conference schedule, and a lot of this is off the adjunct of seeing what other conferences are electing to do. David Pierce was on with us last month. He said he thought there was a realistic possibility of the four-game weekend conference series tablet, so to speak, that they would go with that so as to eliminate some of the possibility of cancellations in some of the midweek non-conference games. We've seen some other leagues do that. And then, by what you've been writing and tweeting about as well, some conferences are kind of resistant at least to reducing the overall schedule, like the Pac-12, the SEC. I wanted to give you a chance to clarify some of that and how the Big 12 factors in all of this.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it sounds like there's going to be a vote today with the athletic directors to figure out the final schedule structure. So we'll have answers pretty soon. I'd say maybe later today or tomorrow. But, the Big 12 has been interesting. I think as with anything right now, guys, everything's pretty fluid. And I think when it looked a couple of months ago like leagues were going to go to four-game series or whatnot across the board, I think the Big 12 is obviously leaning that direction. But I think as you've seen schedules released, the SEC doing a normal schedule, the Pac-12 is more than likely doing a normal schedule. The ACC is pretty much doing a normal schedule. I think what the Big 12 has realized is like, hey, if we're going to give our teams the best chance to make the postseason, we've got to kind of mimic the schedule that these other conferences are doing. Because like I mentioned with the SEC a minute ago and their potential of playing a four-game series, if you're the Big 12 and you got the deepest league you've had in a decade, like you do not want to play a four-game series because you're going to have half of your league is going to be 500 or worse, or maybe maybe one game over 500. Therefore, you're getting fewer teams in the postseason. So I think the Big 12, even though it looked like it might be four games a couple weeks ago, I just have a feeling, even though I feel like the athletic directors are a little bit resisting of a normal schedule, I think that's what's going to end up happening at the end of the day.
And I guess factoring in the one additional thing that factors in here, isn't it, is testing and protocols and things like that that also are still part of the equation these days.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing now is, you know, the protocols and certainly cost containment. I mean, you think about the conference schedules, and, you know, when you have a four-game series, you have to think of so many different things. For instance, even in your job as the radio voice there, you're looking at a situation to where you're playing a doubleheader. If you're playing a four-game series, you're playing a doubleheader on Saturday. You're getting there on Friday. So they're not going to get – schools aren't going to pay for an extra – day of lodging and everyone being grouped together, you know, in a foreign place from Austin, you know, for cost reasons. So you've got to think about that and just that double header. I mean, that's just a grueling schedule format if you think about it. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think that what makes the most sense is playing a normal three-game schedule. You get there on a Friday, you're out on a Sunday. I would not be shocked if teams, if they can arrive on game day this year to destinations as opposed to getting there on Thursday for the customary BP and things like that at the opposing ballpark.
My tongue is firmly planted in my cheek when I say this about when you say about the grind of two games, the doubleheaders. I'm like, you say that like that's a bad thing. You know, those of us who love the game and do it. And I know you too. You don't mind spending a whole day at the ballpark, right? Watching two games, if it had to, yeah, even if they were a pair of sevens.
You know what? I don't mind. I might mind about mid-April, though.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm with you. Hey, Kendall, it's always great to visit with you. We'll do it again. I just wanted to get a touchstone preseason overview of the whole deal, and we'll visit more as we go season before, and we'll have folks who want to know. You know, you can follow Kendall's great work there, d1baseball.com. You can subscribe there as well. Appreciate the time, as always.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you at Globe Live. Thanks.
You bet. Yeah, we're looking forward to that. Kendall. And that was one thing that David Pierce did talk to us about. He's expecting that classic, that tournament to begin the season at Globe Life Field, the new Globe Life Field there in Arlington. I certainly hope that's the case and that holds up and that it's a very, very early, in fact, start the season measuring stick for several teams, not just Texas. Like he said, you could have, you know, six of the top 10 teams in the country facing off in that opening weekend there at the home of the Texas Rangers.
Oh, man, Craig, you know, when I think about a potential four-game conference schedule, I think about some of those four-game series we get in non-conference play. And you've been at some of those where you're at Sunken Diamond and Palo Alto on a Sunday, and everybody's just ready to get on the plane and come home. I'd hate to see that happen for conference games, for it to take on that kind of just that dreadful Sunday feel when everybody's just ready. Coaches, players, everybody's ready for it to be over.
Yeah, yeah. And I will say this, too, to your point and to Kendall's point, you know, I like – I'm just going to sound weird to a lot of folks who may not have much of an interest in it, but I like the midweek game. I like the Tuesday night game, you know, at home, even if it's against a directional institution or whatever, or the occasional – this happened when David Pierce took over the program – the occasional midweek road game. I liked going down to Whataburger Field in Corpus Christi. It was fun to see that and some other ones as well. But, you know, who knows?
Like making the trip to San Marcos?
Yes. Absolutely love doing a ball game at Bobcat Ballpark. Absolutely. And last year, and again, it was one of the casualties of the thing, Texas was supposed to have played at the Dr. Pepper Ballpark in Frisco. And I've only been there one time. I was looking forward to calling a ball game there. So, you know.
The 2020 baseball schedule seems like it was 7 years ago.
I know. We're already on 2021. We'll have some more 2021 football notes coming your way from Jeff when we continue here with Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9. Because the name of the band is Men Without Hats. And Snoop is wearing a hat.
Only when I go to church.
That's the only time you don't wear a hat? Yeah, it's when you go to church there. A safety dance there. You've done the safety dance before, I'm sure, back in the day.
I have.
Yeah.
I love this song, Guiltily.
Well, is that a guilty pleasure tune for you?
Well, it's...
I got to say this, and Jeff, you jump in on this. If you're going to have a guilty pleasure tune, that one kind of beats Barbie Girl, don't you think?
I would rather promote this one as my guilty pleasure song over Barbie Girl. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, with Aqua and Barbie Girl, which was revealed as Snoop's guilty pleasure.
We'll give you a mulligan. We'll give you a mulligan right now, Snoop.
Part of me feels like we need to do that segment again because I love so many different kinds of music.
No, one of the thing is it was great. It was first impulse stuff. So, you know, we get to hear you do this as your guilty pleasure song. This was Snoop's guilty pleasure song on the music survey. Make of that what you wish. So there it is. Yeah. I'd still rather go with Safety Dance if that were the case. All right. It's time for our football notes segment portion of the program. This hour brought to you by Cedar Park Overhead Doors. Check them out online at cpdoors.com.
Snoop's played my guilty pleasure song on the air.
Which one is yours?
LFO, Summer Girls.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I like girls to wear Abercrombie and Fitch.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Indeed, sir. I don't know if Pete Kwiatkowski, Craig, wears Abercrombie and Fitch, but all signs are pointing to him at this point being the next defensive coordinator at Texas.
I bet, by the way, a guy named Kwiatkowski probably does not have Barbie Girl as his guilty pleasure song either, probably. Wouldn't you say? Probably does not.
I'm going to go ahead and guess probably not. So here's what we can report right now, Craig, at Horns 24/7. It's not. We haven't been told explicitly that it is done, but we're kind of where multiple reports nationally are. Bruce Feldman at The Athletic, Seattle Times. It is expected to happen at this point. Haven't been told explicitly that it's a done deal, but it's looking like Texas indeed is going to have their defensive coordinator. Steve Sarkisian's got his guy with Pete Kwiatkowski coming over from Washington, and we ran down some statistics in the first hour when we were talking about this news, just where he ranked. And I won't run all of them down, Craig, but the two I will run down again just to give everybody an idea of, okay, how good has Washington been? Maybe you're a casual college football fan. You don't watch a lot of Pac-12, which if you're a college football fan not watching Pac-12 after dark, what's the matter with you? I don't know what the deal is there, but anyway, so two metrics that I think are good to look at just in terms of who have you played, and when you play good teams in meaningful moments in games, how good is your defense in this case? And I use ESPN's defensive efficiency rankings and defensive S&P Plus, now SP Plus, which is curated by Bill Connolly at ESPN. So from 2014 through 2019, I don't have the 2020 numbers because, Craig, quite honestly, in a four-game season, you don't really get that good of a sample. So from 2014 to 2019, this is where Washington ranked defensively in ESPN's defensive efficiency rankings: 21st, 9th, 7th, 16th, 15th, and 13th, and then S&P Plus, now SP Plus, from 2014 to 2019, 31st, 27th, 4th, 13th, 4th, and 24th. Under Pete Kwiatkowski, Washington has five finishes in a six-year span, in the top 15 nationally in scoring defense. Total defense, where they finished, I didn't run these down in the first hour, but total defense from 2014 to 2019, Washington was, and it improved gradually every year, 78th, 31st, 12th. That was in 2016, the year Washington won the Pac-12 and ended up playing Alabama in the college football playoff. 8th, 12th, 35th, run defense, 22nd, 19th, 28th, 4th, 15th, 20th. So really, you just see a line of consistency with where that Washington defense has been. And the number, Craig, too, that I'll go back to that I really, really love is, especially in this league, and as long as Oklahoma's still winning the league, the road to the Big 12 championship goes through Norman, Oklahoma, which means you've got to beat Lincoln Riley, which in that case means you can make the adage that defense wins championships, but points and offense wins the Big 12. So defensively, what's the one thing above all else you've got to do? You've got to be able to force turnovers, and you got to be able to get the ball back, get extra possessions. Where's Washington ranked from 14th to 19th in turnovers forced? 17th, 13th, 1st, 29th, 56th, and 23rd. And just to clean up something that's coming on the Specs text line, I saw from somebody, well, you know, Jimmy Lake was the defensive coordinator. Yes, they were co-coordinators, but Kwiatkowski was the defensive signal caller from 14 to 17. Lake got a promotion in 2018 under Chris Peterson when it was other programs were wanting to hire him, namely because how good he is as a recruiter. So Kwiatkowski took a step back, gave Lake play-calling duties, and then he took them back this year. Took them back as Chris Peterson retired and Jimmy Lake took over the Washington program. So yes,
so most of those years you're
coordinators.
Yeah, most of those years you're talking about, Kwiatkowski's the one calling the plays.
Yes, exactly.
So the defensive signals.
Yeah, and I mean we talked about it a little bit earlier, Craig, but I did find the list. If you go from really starting with the 2015 draft, which was that first year defensively when Chris Peterson took over for the 2014 season when Steve Sarkisian left Washington to take the USC job. The first-round picks that have come out of that Washington program on defense, Danny Shelton, Marcus Peters, Shaq Thompson, Kevin King was a second-round pick, Buda Baker was a second-round pick, Sidney Jones in the second round, Vita Vea was a second-round pick, Byron Murphy was taken to the top of the second round, Taylor Rapp was a second-round pick. So a lot of those names I just rattled off are names you're really familiar with if you watch or are a fan that's pretty devoted to the National Football League. So it looks like Steve Sarkisian's got his guy, Craig. We're waiting. And D.C. Horn, yes, on the text line. You can say it's Jimmy Lake's defense if that makes you sleep better at night, whatever. But I'm just giving you the facts here. It is what it is. So it looks like Steve Sarkisian's got his guy, bottom line.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. All right. When we come back, we'll get ready to wrap up today's edition of Light the Tower here on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260, and streaming on the Horn app and in hornfm.com.
The Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares Sweepstakes is back. Every time the score changes, someone wins $50,000. Plus, two grand prize winners will win $500,000 they could use toward their dream home. See rules and enter for free at rocketmortgagesquares.com. Rocket Mortgage, official mortgage sponsor of Super Bowl 55.
No purchase necessary. Legal residence of the 50 U.S. and D.C. of age majority. Ends February 4th. Licensed in all 50 states and MLS number 3030. The NFL is not sponsored promotion in any way.
For the ones standing guard. For the eagle-eyed. For the knights in shining armor. And for all those who support them. We are Grainger, your experienced safety partner. Offering supplies and solutions for every industry. Committed to helping keep your facilities safe. And your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, I had the opportunity to go and visit my mom as she's rehabbing a surgically repaired hip, but I wouldn't have had the chance to do that had I not gotten tested. Had to get COVID tested to do it because they're really strict, obviously, in the facility. They don't want COVID cases happening with senior citizens, right? So what I had to do was make sure I went and got COVID tested. I did it that quickly, turned around, and got it done at Total Men's and Total Care. You know, you make the appointment, you can do it online at TotalMens.com. They even take some walk-ins, although I would recommend doing it online because you can lock in the time and day you want, and then it's real quick. Test takes only a few seconds. You get the results in about 15 minutes. It's fast. It's painless. It's covered under most insurance right now. And right now at Total Men's, they're testing men, women, and kids, not just men alone. So check them out online at TotalMens.com. Click on the big arrow in the right-hand corner in the top to make your appointment for Total Men's Primary Care. It's the doctor's office for everyone right now.
With lower prices on Texas's largest selection of world-class wines, spirits, and craft beers, you don't need a special occasion to visit Specs, but you will need an appetite for savings. Specs has lower prices on all your favorites every day of the year. Come shop a great selection of highly rated table wines, hopped-up specialty beers, newly released spirits, and more. For good times in Texas, it's Specs. The fun starts here.
Cheers to savings.
I'm here with the biggest news in Honda's history. Today is the day you get an incredible deal on a new Honda. 0% financing. That's right, 0% financing. So trade up to that new Honda you've been wanting right here at your Central Texas Honda dealers. Get a 2021 HR-V, Pilot, or 2020 Ridgeline, all with 0% financing this weekend at your Central Texas Honda dealers. First Texas. Texas Honda, Howdy Honda, Round Rock Honda, or Honda San Marcos. Come by for all the details today.
I know I should take care of that, but it's just a little leak. No, I've got to deal with this now.
Don't lose sleep over your internal plumbing. ARA Diagnostic Imaging provides a non-surgical alternative treatment for BPH, or enlarged prostate, with lower risk of sexual side effects than traditional treatments. Visit quitthedrip.com to take a self-assessment or schedule your ARA consultation.
If we learned anything in 2020, it's that life is unpredictable. There are some things that you just can't control. All the more reason why you need to appreciate and hold tight those special people in your life, that relationship you know you can count on no matter what. At Diamonds Direct, your love is our passion. Your relationship is why we exist, and we stand ready to help you create those memorable moments in 2021 that celebrate and solidify those unbreakable bonds. Our selection of precious rare diamonds has never been greater. From a simple 1-carat princess cut to a breathtaking 10-carat round brilliant, we have your perfect diamond in stock every day at the guaranteed best value price in America. And even in unpredictable times, Diamonds Direct's commitment to you will never waver. We promise the largest selection, the highest quality, the best value, the strongest warranties, and the most unforgettable experience. So as life gets back to normal this new year, remember, cling to the ones you adore by showing them how much they mean to you. And we'll always be here to help. Diamonds Direct.
At the Domain.
This is Chad Hastings. Sinus and Snoring Specialist is the place that is helping me sleep better, rest better, live better, breathe better. And we've got Dr. Dan Slaughter here to tell you more about it. Dr. Slaughter, talk about some of the best treatments and options for snoring and sleep apnea.
You have to think of snoring and sleep apnea as multifactorial, a bunch of different factors. And what we need to do is identify the factors that are kind of creating it in the individual patient and fix those. Half the people we put on CPAP therapy, they just won't wear it. So we really need to look at other options, kind of these advanced nasal and sinus procedures that open up the nasal airway. The balloon sinuplasty lets us correct your deviated septum without the need of general anesthetic in an office setting, virtually painless. It's really the ideal way to be able to have a procedure done.
They got me breathing better. They can do the same for you. Call 512-601-0303 or go to sinussnoringent.com. Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Feel clear, rested, and healthy.
Knocking at my door. Go away. Don't come down here no more. Can't you see that it's late at night? I'm very tired and I'm not feeling right. All I wish is to be alone. Stay away. Don't you invade my home. Best off if you hang outside. Don't come in. I'll only.
Okay, I know Snoop knows the artists here. I worked this tour, a couple of concerts in my concert vending days back in 1982. You know who this band is, right, Jeff? You old enough?
No, I don't. I'm going to be honest with you, Craig.
Maybe Men at Work. Men at Work.
You know, I was thinking something like that, but I didn't want to sound like a moron, so I just decided to sound like a moron and say I didn't know. So.
They're from the land down under, I can tell you that. You know, Snoop is on this thing about men this morning, men without hats and now Men at Work.
Oh, wow.
There, you know. Although, you know.
No.
All I said was, you played a song from Men Without Hats and you played one with Men at Work, you know.
I did, I guess.
It's the facts. It just is. The facts are, to this point, Jeff, as you mentioned, it looks like it's the done deal that Steve Sarkisian has his new defensive coordinator, although the university has yet to make that announcement official.
Yeah, Pete Kukowski from Washington. And Craig, I would think at this point the school is probably going to wait until the staff is complete to announce it. Otherwise, I mean, there's guys that are already working at Texas in their expected capacities, Kyle Flood, Terry Joseph, et cetera. So I would think you'd get the official release when the staff is complete, but we're still waiting to confirm things on the Texas side. Everything, all the confirmation at this point has been on the Washington side, but it definitely sounds like it's headed in that direction very, very strongly at this point.
So toward that end, refresh my memory, does that complete the roster of the coaches? Is there still another hire to be made there?
got one more. The offensive staff is done. You got your five offensive assistants: AJ Milwee, Stan Drayton, Andre Coleman, Kyle Flood, Jeff Banks. Defensively, if we can add Pete Kwiatkowski in that mix now with Bo Davis, Terry Joseph, Blake Gideon, you'll need one more now. Kwiatkowski, he's coached outside linebackers. We said it's that unique scheme. You got to wrap your head around that 2-4-5 defense with two down linemen and basically two stand-up defensive ends as outside linebackers in that scheme. He's coached the outside linebackers. He's had an inside linebackers coach. So if you're Texas, you're looking to fill that role. We've heard a lot of buzz about Tosh Lupoi. I know Tosh Lupoi has an offer to coach in the National Football League as well. We were told, Craig, if Tosh Lupoi got back in the college game, a co-defensive coordinator title would not only be required, but he would likely want play-calling duties defensively. Everything we've heard is that Steve Sarkisian hasn't offered that to Tosh Lupoi, even though they have had conversations. And Tosh Lupoi is a lights-out recruiter, so I think that's why a lot of people are interested in what happens with him. Gotten a lot of texts about Coleman Hutzler. He's actually on his way to Ole Miss to be the special teams coach. I don't know if that's done yet for sure, but things were trending in that direction and expected hire as of yesterday. Johnny Nansen is a name that's come up recently. He's worked with Steve Sarkisian before, and he's kind of he's a guy that Craig has coached everywhere. I mean, coached both sides of the ball. He's the defensive line coach right now at UCLA, but he's coached defensive line, defensive ends, outside linebackers, inside linebackers. He's coached on offense. So he's a guy that for his recruiting chops could, in theory, fill that 10th assistant spot, which would be, I guess, at this point, inside linebackers.
Okay. All right. So that kind of gets you up to speed on where things are with regard to the Texas coaching staff. Hey, coming up, it'll be Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. They come your way. And then following that this afternoon, it's RBKD, Rob Abers, Brad Kellner, Kevin Dunn, the triple option coming your way as well. We'll talk some more college basketball tomorrow. Had a good time last night in Waco with the Baylor-Kansas game, working the national radio broadcast of that with Fran Fraschilla. Fran, who does, of course, the lion's share of his work for ESPN, but he was working the Westwood One broadcast with me last night. Fran will join us on Thursday morning to talk about the Big 12, the issues with the postponements, and also the national college basketball scene. So we'll look forward to that as well. Thanks to Kendall Rogers, D1Baseball.com, for joining us. For our man behind the glass, our producer, Snoop Daniel. And, of course, for my co-host, Jeff Howe. I'm Craig Way. We thank you for joining us. We'll visit with you tomorrow at 10 o'clock right here on Light the Tower.
This is Chad Hastings. Sign up.